The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Oh Jesus, if you only knew what those words mean to a people, to your people right now. Because we're a people who feel lost, a people who feel separated from our community, a people who feel alone, and a people who feel like things have been changed in a way that no one was ready for. Some of us feel like the rug has been pulled out from underneath us. Some of us wonder what will come next. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Well, Jesus does know what we're feeling. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples. He spoke these words on the night of his betrayal. He spoke these words after he had washed his disciples' feet, after he had told them who would betray him, after he told them that Peter would deny him. After all of these things, after all of these concerns that his disciples have, Jesus looks at them and says, do not let your hearts be troubled. He then goes on to say, believe in God, believe also in me. And here's the thing. The way we use the word believe in our world today is merely a head thing. If I believe something, I can know it, I can think about it, I can do whatever it is. So it's really a head thing. But Jesus isn't talking about a head thing here. He's saying, trust in God, trust in me. These are heart things. Trust comes from a different place than our head. Jesus is saying, trust in me. Trust in all the things I've said to you. Trust in all the words and actions of the last months and years. Trust that you have seen so much already and will know what is to come next. But even with these words of trust, they're still not quite sure. His disciples still aren't quite sure. And even though Jesus promises dwelling places for them all, Thomas wonders, where are you going? We don't know the way. And Jesus says to them, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And now before we go on any further, I know that that phrase sometimes gets used like a hammer in our society, can get used like a hammer by Christians at times. Jesus says it, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you don't accept Jesus, there's no chance of heaven for you. Here's at least one of the problems with that, is that in this moment, Jesus isn't speaking like a hammer. These aren't imperatives that he's proclaiming. Jesus here is instead, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, Jesus is here instead with the words he's saying is like offering a hug to his disciples. And you know all how much, you all know how much I love hugs. But this is a moment of love. This is a moment of peace. This is a moment of hope for his disciples. When he speaks to them in this way, he's offering them all of that love and that hope and that peace in a big embrace. And I think it's also then important, once we start to understand this phrase as a sign of love, this proclamation as a sign of love, that we look at it a little bit closer. When Jesus says, I am the way. Now, this isn't the way that he's talking about. He's talking about, I am the one that is leading you forward. I am the one that is bringing you out through all of this into the world. I am the way. But the way is a little bit more like a wandering path than it is a straight line. That we know that in our lives of faith, that he wants his disciples to know that in the days and the months and the years to come, this isn't going to be a straight line moving forward, but instead things are going to meander a little bit. But Jesus will always be the one out in the lead for each of us. So this is different than when we talk about it. I've been thinking about that phrase or that word way. And if you were someone who watched The Mandalorian, which I'm guessing a lot of you probably didn't see The Mandalorian, but if you had watched The Mandalorian, you hear The Mandalorian say this phrase that all Mandalorian hold to. They say, this is the way. And then they all repeat it, this is the way. But in their sense, the way is some absolute. If you follow these sets of rules, you'll find yourself on the way. This is the way. But what Jesus is talking about in the way is talking about how it is that we live our lives into who we have been created to be. How we live our lives of faith, how we live our lives in the world. And that because of this, we're sometimes going to wander. As Peter denies Jesus, did he lose his way? Or is he off the path for a while? Is he wandering in a different way? Is he somehow lost? As Thomas and as Philip ask the questions of Jesus, have they lost the way? Or are they just simply on this path, trying to figure out where it is that Jesus is taking them? Where it is that Jesus is leading them forward? So Jesus is the way, but the way isn't a straight line. The way isn't a certain prescribed set of things that we must do. Instead, the way is being open to following where Jesus is leading. And then Jesus says, I am the truth. And the truth is that Jesus is the one. If we go all the way back to the beginning of John's gospel, Jesus is the one who has spoken into creation. He is the one that brings creation into life. He is the one who has been with God since the beginning. And this is the truth that we need to hear in the midst of these words, in the midst of doubt. This is the truth that we need to be reminded of. And Jesus is the life. Jesus is the one who gives life abundantly to God's people. Jesus is the one who brings life into the midst of death. And so when Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life," he's talking to us about the journey he is taking us on, about the place that he is leading us into. And his disciples, they hear this, and they still don't quite understand. And you know what? We can hear these words, and we can still struggle and not quite understand. Because in the end, it's not about the things we understand. It's often about the things we can't understand, the things we can't nail down, the things that we can't figure out in their fullness. And in this place of we can't quite figure it out, in this place of we can't quite know it all, this is the place where faith steps in. This is the place where faith walks into our lives and fills the gap between the things that we know and understand and the things that we don't quite know and that we don't quite understand and we can't fully explain. Jesus is offering his disciples in this warm embrace and this big hug of truth for them. Jesus is offering them a way into that faith. And he says something remarkable about this faith that they're going to receive. This faith that they're going to receive is going to allow them to do great things. Greater things than even some of the things that he has done. And imagine hearing that. Imagine hearing that in the midst of all the doubt that they're feeling, in the midst of not understanding all that's going to happen, Jesus tells them, "You're going to be doing greater things than this. All you have to do is ask, and these things will be given to you. Ask, and they will be made true." And we don't necessarily get to see the outcome of this, maybe so much in John's gospel. But as we've been hearing readings from the book of Acts, there are some stories of the things that happen when you ask in Jesus' name. We heard about Peter giving a sermon and 3,000 people are baptized. That's pretty amazing. Today, and all the stories aren't necessarily good. The way doesn't always take us to safety. The way may also bring us into danger at times. And so we also hear the story of Stephen today, as Deanna read it earlier, that Stephen becomes, as many might say, the first martyr of the church, but that the message of Jesus to those people as he is speaking it is a word that cannot be heard, is a word that they do not, are unwilling to hear, is a word that they don't have faith to understand. And so they stone Stephen. And Stephen, in his words, echoing Jesus' words on the cross, asks that they are forgiven for what they are doing. And I think that's the other reality about following Jesus as the way and the truth and the life, is that Jesus isn't necessarily leading us into the safe thing to do. Jesus isn't necessarily leading us into the easy thing to do. Jesus isn't leading us into the thing that we want to do necessarily. But Jesus is leading us into a relationship with Him, into a relationship with God the Father. Jesus wants us to know that when we know Him, that when we know His words, that when we know His life among us, that we know God. That we are encouraged by knowing that God is with us in these moments. That God is with us now in the midst of this pandemic, when things around us don't seem certain, when things around us feel out of control, when things around us just seem uncertain. That we know because we know Jesus, we know that God is with us. Jesus is with us, so God is with us in this time. And it's with that knowledge that God is with us, it's with the faith that God is with us when the knowledge falls short, that we might have a chance of hearing those words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. Siblings in Christ, you may be finding yourself in any range of emotion these days. I think we're all feeling the different stages of loss and grief in our lives. As events pass by on the calendar, as graduations are happening and we aren't able to celebrate, as life is happening and we aren't able to celebrate, it's Mother's Day and not all of you are having an opportunity to hug your mother or to be even in the same room as your mother. Or for some of you, it's a day that you're simply remembering your mother, someone who had great influence on your life. And for some of you, you might have had a difficult relationship to your mother, and so Mother's Day feels a little bit strange as well. But remember God's promise. Remember Jesus' promise to be with us, to guide us on the way, to lead us forward on this journey. And when we doubt, and when the darkness feels like it's closing in, when we don't feel like we have the strength to go forward, remember Jesus' words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. Amen.